This is Rad Radio. If you listen closely, you can actually hear Rob's temple throbbing in shame. Make it worse by calling the show at 888-989-9811.
Or you can just email. Oh, we got this one from Warren.
Hey, Warren.
So we played the pressure cooker for Chevelle tickets. Three more chances tomorrow at 7, 8, and 9 a.m. And one of the questions was, how many different vowels are in the spelling of the name Chevelle? C-H-E-V-E-L-L-E. So there's three E's. But how many different vowels? Just E. Just that's it.
One.
So Warren says, the question about how many different vowels are in the name Chevelle, could the answer have also been zero? The question wasn't how many vowels, which is three, but how many different vowels, which I think would be zero. He lost either way, so if I'm overthinking this, I will gladly shut my dumb ass up.
Oh.
Well, he already answered the question. He says a dumb ass.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to go with your dumb ass. So if there's only one vowel, then there are no different vowels, is his logic. Therefore, could the answer have been zero?
Is that mood based for you?
No, it's a he's
it would have been
he's in dumbass.
Oh, boy.
He's trying to show off how smart he is.
Yeah,
sit down, Mr. Peace.
Go teach your philosophy class.
We got this note from Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
Easter is Sunday. We've been talking about various things, including Peeps. And Danielle says, damn you, Kyle, and your love of Peeps.
Mm-hmm.
I am a type 1 diabetic. So naturally, I try to stay away from sweets.
Sorry.
But when you mentioned party cake flavored Peeps, I had to try them. Yes, Rob, I had to. I went out and I bought a small pack and I commenced to eat all of them.
Attaboy.
That wasn't the problem. The problem was that those damn Peeps were a gateway drug that reminded me of my love of marshmallows, so I made an entire pan of Rice Krispie Treats.
Yes!
No. Oh, my. Oh,
no.
I feel bad you're diabetic, but I mean, if you have no self-control and you want to do that, that's on you.
Oh.
I mean,
it's true, but
if this does not work out for you, man, grief counselor, any sport, any sort of like life coach, right up your alley, dude.
Right?
He's going to write a book someday. It's going to be called You Got It Coming.
My fiance came home from work to an entire pan of Rice Krispie Treats eaten, in which he became instantly annoyed. Not because he was worried about my health, but because he knew what that meant. As a type 1 diabetic, we are prone to the yeasties, as sugar is a breeding ground for the fungi. And so my fiancé knew at that point he would not be getting any of my sweet hoo-hoo for the next week.
Oh.
As he always puts it, I guess you'll be baking sourdough for the next few days. Thank you, Kyle, for ruining my sex life.
Now I'm getting blamed for the problems. All right. Yeah, maybe I should be a life coach and just tell him that was your fault.
I mean, the question,
all your fault,
Danielle, is, first of all, was it worth it?
Yeah.
I mean, how good's the sex? Can you go a week considering, I mean, you ate an entire pan of Rice Krispie Treats?
But you know what? And the sex is always there available to you, where the other stuff, you got to go out to the store, you got to buy it, you got to have the ingredients. It's the whole thing.
It's not like on day 8 or whenever the yeasties are gone, he's going to be like, no.
Right.
No, I don't feel up for it.
just dangle some roast beef, tomatoes, and some mustard down there, and he might be all about it.
Oh. Oh. Yikes.
What?
Ugh.
Oh, man.
Sandwich.
We also got this note from John.
Hey, John.
As I've said many times, this is not going to become the sobriety show, but I'm not going to walk away from people when they need help or they're inspired or they have questions or things like that. And when I came back a couple Mondays ago and mentioned that I had been gone because of a few days I had spent in detox, Brandon and I started talking on the air, and Brandon opened up much more than I thought he would, knew he would. I had no reason to believe that he was going to start talking about his journey. He had stopped for a year. And then my understanding was he had kind of socially drank for a while, but then it sounded like it had gone back to not being good.
Yeah.
And the last I heard, if I'm remembering correctly, you and your fiance, there was no kid over the weekend,
yep.
and you kind of let it get away from you again.
We did.
And you're back to, okay, we're not doing this anymore.
We got
did I have that kind of right?
We have a whole week under our belt as of today.
Hey, okay, good.
So hopefully I can get both of these in here because they all tie in. John says, somebody said to me once that all he wanted to, I'm sorry. And the other premise for this is when Brandon told me the most recent time that he's going to stop drinking, not when he quit for a year. But a few months ago, he came to me and he said, hey, look, just so you know, I'm just not drinking anymore. Nothing. I forget again the phrase. I realized that everything bad in my life has been connected to alcohol or something like that.
Yeah, and it was around this time where we were doing a lot of taste testings of various things on the air. Yeah. So I was just coming forward, and you know, the tastings looked so delicious that I fell back into it. But I'm staying the course this time.
And so John said, somebody said to me once that all he wanted to do was control and enjoy drinking, but whenever he was controlling it, he wasn't enjoying it, and whenever he was enjoying it, he wasn't controlling it. Which sounds similar to what Brandon was saying.
Almost spot on. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just like once the good feelings start happening, I don't want it to stop. And I equate the good feeling to let's keep going. Let's keep more.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a recipe for disaster.
It is literally what it does to your brain. When you've lost the ability to control it, your brain says more will make it even better. Mm-hmm. When you're in that state where you have the ability to control it, your brain says, no, this is exactly right. I've had my two glasses of wine or my three cocktails for the night. Another one's not going to do anything good.
Sounds like a superpower to me.
So we mentioned earlier somebody had written in that they had stopped as well, I think, on the same day. I don't know if it's the same email, but somebody had written in about they had tried to stop. They had a day where they went back and they drank, and I said, or I was alluding to the fact it's going to happen. It is going to happen. You have to have the mindset that it's going to happen, I think. Other people say, no, you just say it's never going to happen. I'm just not built that way. I think it's more realistic to say, I have certainly had my challenges in the last few weeks. And if or when I give in, you know, my goal is to not then destroy myself. It's to then start over and fix the problem. And I thought this was a great email from James on that front.
Hey, James.
He says, I've stopped drinking several times and I have failed often. And he put failed in quotes. I slowly realized that beating myself up for failing was a big part of what prompted me to go back to the bottle.
Oh.
It dawned on me that being harsh on myself was like kicking my kids if they fell down while they were learning to walk. I needed patience, kindness, and compassion for myself. An analogy I came up with was if I'm riding my motorcycle from LA to New York and I get a flat tire in Denver, I don't push the bike all the way back to LA to fix it. I repair it and I keep rolling on. Simply begin again. No judgment, no anger, just keep moving forward. That is a great analogy.
It's beautiful.
And it sounds like that's exactly what Brandon and his fiance did this most recent weekend.
Yeah, and I think that to say I'm never going to do it again sets up unrealistic expectations and a lot of pressure on yourself to where if you do, you will get to that place where you'll beat yourself up. So I find that just going day by day and living in the moment, which is really hard for me, but I'm finally getting there at this point in my life. If you acknowledge it and you accept the fact that you have a craving, but you say, tomorrow me is going to thank me so much with the clarity of my mind and feeling so much better, waking up with a pep in my step, it's just going to pay off for me to just push this off another time and going for a walk, eating a candy, you know, something simple to get your mind off it. Even just talking to a friend about your craving could always help.
And that last one can be the biggest one, whether it's a friend or a partner, in the situation where I call my wife, Christine, and I say, I have had it today. I've had it. I'm at that point. This is what drinkers say, right? I need a drink. I can't do it. And can your partner be the person that says either no, you don't, or babe, let's come back to that, and changes the subject, and you get that 20-minute-ish thing that you need to get. Now, and in that situation, like Brandon and his fiance are trying to do this together, and sometimes it can go this way. Brandon says, you know, I really need a drink.
Okay, he doesn't talk like that.
Sometimes I do when I need a drink.
And the fiance kind of goes, you know, that actually sounds kind of good.
Oh no!
And that's where you keep growing and you try to learn, and that's where one of you hopefully says, you know what? Instead, we're gonna take Walter for a walk, mm-hmm. or instead we're gonna call insert friend here, mm-hmm. and they're going to it is not easy, but it is not impossible. It is far from impossible. And I don't even know, I won't know until I get through my journey where I'm going to put it on the hard level. It's difficult. It's challenging. But what matters in life that isn't?
My person and I are perfectly built to be enablers for each other. Because I would text her in the past and be like, "Oh man, you want some Jameson tonight? It's been a day. Let's just have a couple. We'll have just a couple, and a couple turns into half a bottle. It's just how it goes. And so now that we have a clearer picture and a greater goal in mind, and we're doing this together, I did that thing last week. I was like, "Hey, oh man, I just have that craving today." She texted me back, like hardly acknowledging it, just being like, "Okay." And that was it. And it was like, she wasn't doing that thing where she was like, "Yeah, me too." So to have her finally backing off, and I do the same thing to her in reverse, but to have that to bounce back and forth with is tremendously helpful.
When you guys talk about this, it's just how it can just, what you are saying can just transfer to whatever a person's thing is.
It does.
It really does. Because like, as you guys are talking, and I'm taking it all in, I'm like, oh my gosh, for people that have been like me with their life, where you're all or nothing, you're super, super strict with your eating or not, that's what then you have to learn, right? Like, okay, just because you didn't follow it exactly and you went ahead and had half of a cookie does not now mean the whole day is destroyed and just give into it and start over tomorrow. Fine, whatever. Who cares? Had half a cookie. It didn't mess up the other healthy food I ate. Let's just move on with the day. I don't need to go down. You know, it's sugar. People with sugar, right? Whatever your thing is.
Right. We're going to forgive diabetes girl, but she did exactly that. Right. She eats Peeps and then she makes a whole tray and eats Rice Krispies, a whole tray of Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah.
Didn't have to go that far.
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob, anybody, and Dawn show.